The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, October 2nd. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is CA Nuri and I shall be your host for the day as we celebrate Bohemian Excellence, right? And Bohemian Excellence is a celebration of the Bohemian community, right? However, it's just not just simply highlighting the achievements of Bohemians, but it's actually putting that excellent mindset in action. And in order to celebrate Bohemian excellence, we have one of the premier institutions that has proliferated, celebrated, showcased Bohemian excellence for their 40 years of existence.
That's correct.
And I'm not even going to say who is here right now, because you know when you're excited to see royalties in-house, right? And especially esteemed people here. So what I'll do is introduce Dexter Fernando and have him explain who is in the audience here with me.
Okay. So I'm Dexter Fernando. I am an intake of the 1993. 10 years later, the choir was established in 1983.
You just can't say the choir. You got to say who here first.
So I am a 93 intake, Dexter Fernando, director. And then I have a lifetime member, Robert Pinder, who is also an original member of the choir. And then I also have Heather Hunt, and she is our president of our alumni association. All right. So we have a bass in the house and we got a soprano in the house.
So let me reintroduce, because I thought Fernando was going to do a phenomenal job introducing the Bahamas National Youth Choir, the premier institution inside the Bahamas, and where people get excited when you hear the music and say celebrate. You say that, oh, that's the Bahamas Youth Choir, and you think of Cleophas Adderley and the legacy of who he is, right? And then Dexter just say, okay, I'm going to introduce everybody, but no, I'm going to start over. I have members, alumni of the Bahamas National Youth Choir in studio with me. They are celebrating 40 years of existence, right? We have the director of the youth choir right now, who is Dexter Fernando. See how I was introduced to people? Yes. Dexter, see the difference?
I'm learning.
Yes, you see that, right? We have an original member. Yes. I didn't know you were that old, Bobby. And then I got confused and say, who's Robert? Right, I didn't know Bobby was that old to say he was an original member of the Bahamas Youth Choir.
I'm only 15.
No, only 15. I understand. So you start off young. And of course, everybody knows who Heather Hunt is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's great to know that she's the president of the Alumni Association.
That's correct.
For the National Youth Choir.
And a 1996 intake.
A 1996 intake. Okay. So big things is happening for the National Youth Choir. I'm glad to see that they're continuing their excellence, right? Celebrating Bohemian excellence and still traveling around the world and being ambassadors, cultural ambassadors for the Bahamas. But this year, 2023, you're doing something big.
Yes.
You're doing something big because you are showcasing and highlighting the works of Mr. Cleophas Adderley, who's a national treasure, who's a national hero, who, when you call his name out, people get excited and do homage and say, hey, I know who you mean. He has dedicated himself to proliferating and highlighting what is great about the Bahamas. And you have partnered to bring the old, can I call him old or call him senior?
Senior.
Yes.
Choir people to rejoin the choir and partner to showcase the best of the Bahamas, the excellence of the Bahamas. So I'm going to let Heather Hunt explain what exactly has happened with that.
So this year marks 40 years of the existence of the choir. We were formed in 1983, 10 years after the 73 independence. And the former Prime Minister, Sir Lyndon Pinling, formed the choir in order to celebrate the 10th year of independence.
And I'm going
to
stop you there because something you said during the break, that you're officially the National Choir of the Bahamas?
Absolutely.
And I was around Aaron with this some weeks ago, saying there's no such thing as a National Choir. It's a choir that just put the word national in, but now I'm finding that I'm wrong. We have a National Choir. This is the Choir of the Bahamas?
That's correct. And so you have to go back to those cabinet papers of 1983. There were national entities that were created under the Secretariat. So the choir existed prior to the Quincentennial Secretariat, right? And so, yes, a lot of people float around with the title national. However, we got the stamp of approval of the Bahamas government, that then Sir Lyndon Pinning at that time, that we became the national entity. So there were a few national entities that were created. There was the National Dance School, the National
Dance. We have a National Dance School too?
The Dance Company. There's the National Dance Company, the National Children's Choir.
That's national also?
Yes, the national. And then there was the drama group, Fresh Roots Theater Company, that faded away. It was in charge with Dawn Hannah, who moved to Freeport. And so there were these national entities that got the stamp of approval. It was the creation of feeder groups that you move from the children's choir into, you know, so that there was an appreciation of the art. And so these titles didn't come easy. And so when they looked around, Sir Lyndon Pinling invited Mr. Adley to become the director. So we have a traditional people where we had rules and bylaws and documentation prior to the stamping of the Quincentennial Secretariat. What the Secretariat did was make us national.
I'm proud to know I know, because I did not know that.
Yeah, there's a confusion in the area of who was there and where was there. We got bylaws and we have documentation of when they first met, how much dues was. I didn't know you paid dues in the choir. Mm-hmm. And they had a bank account at Chase Bank in the Bahamas here. And so when the Quincentennial came aboard, they just gave more validity to that national. And we're appreciative of the work of all of the individuals.
So as a national youth choir, do you have a mandate?
Certainly, the preservation of Bahamian folk, and so that's both the dance and the oral communication of the Bahamas and the music, the various genre of musics within the country, and also the improvement as it relates to international music choral singing. And so whilst we fall under two departments, youth and culture, our mandate is to preserve the Bahamian folk and music for another generation.
And I want you to explain, preserve Bahamian folk music. Because you sing an eclectic type of songs, mm-hmm. not necessarily all Bahamian songs, but part mm-hmm. of your mandate is to promote Bahamian music?
Yes. So if you come to our concert, it's anyone who is in the industry. Mr. Hadley used a formula that in order to reach someone, you have to first meet them where they are. So if we go to Africa, we can't just go there singing Bahamian music. Mm-hmm. So we have an international folk section where they're listening to us because we're singing their language. And so after you introduce their language, then you can present your music. And so what you see with the choir is that we are developing and taking the different parts of Bahamian culture. So you have the religious section. And so you have to package it that you could explain to them rushing in church. You can't just go rush on church on stage. It has to make sense to the audience that you're looking at. And remember, we are looking at an international audience. So we have to explain to them, why are we going counterclockwise when we're rushing? Do you know what rushing is?
Yes.
And then you have to also talk about the secular section of there. So there are different segments of there. And then things that happen with Bahamian of importance, Burma Road riot. Mm-hmm. What that means? How do you depict that? Or, you know, what it means? Conking got no bone. What those type of stuff, how do we present that to another generation?
I find the National Youth Choir is like storytellers.
Yes.
You tell a story of the Bahamas.
Certainly, certainly.
And I want to have that point juxtaposed to you now. You now serve as the director of the National Youth Choir. You are now attempting to fill shoes that is hard.
Oh, yes.
To fit, right? The shoe's big.
Oh, yes. Right?
But you're doing an excellent job. We know what you're doing, right? I want to know your narrative on being named the new director. Mm-hmm. How has it impacted the choir? How's it impact you as a person being involved with Cleosis Adley, first of all, and knowing what he can do? And then you said, well, let me see if I can do that too, right? I want to know that narrative for the Bahamian people.
Well, it's a humbling experience. And until you move into that position, it didn't happen overnight because I was also the assistant choir director.
Oh.
And so I had some time to learn what would be necessary. There is the institution. It's not just a choir. So we prepare individuals for developing as into the orange economy in music, in performing arts. And we have to develop programming that's speaking individuals, getting, making sure the SAT is that correct. What is necessary for an audition?
You do all of that?
You have to do all of that. Because you're preparing young adults to prepare for the individuals where they will perform locally and international. So we always say, you sound good because you're the biggest fish in your tank. Now what happens when you get that exposure and you go to a different tank?
Mm-hmm.
Are you prepared? Is the typical Bahamian prepared for a Vegas audition, a Broadway audition, to make a living out of the music and arts? Who's there feeding into their lives to make sure they can get into there? So there's a lot that goes into the work that you see as the choir. Learning dance, the basics of theater, knowing what is the front of stage, what's back of stage.
So before I go back to Heather, right, and ask her what event is happening for the 40th and get the list, and then going to you, Bobby, to have your experience of being one of the oldest members of the choir, right? Before we go there, right, Fernando, are you saying that the persons who are in the choir are good enough or esteemed enough to compete internationally with anybody?
That's it. And if you look at the concert that we're having this weekend, they are the high creme de la creme that are happening in the performances all over Nassau now. No one can beat an Anya Bo, a Lady E, a Danielle Dorset, Zenobia Pierre. All of these individuals, they have crafted their gift, and they're able to go with any concert. They can go anywhere in the world and perform. Some of them just come off their international tours. So they are prepared. They have learned their craft that they can perform anywhere. And I can bet my dollar, I can give you someone today that they should be able to stand up and give you the best in either choral singing, either able to read music, or perform a song to the best of their ability with a good interpretation.
That's good to know, especially with the narrative of being the national choir, the representation of the Bahamas. Let's go back to Heather, right? You have a week of events. I won't hear about the week of events, so everyone hear what is happening, because you're going to clarion call. Right, for the Bahamas to turn up to experience this concert and to also come and celebrate Cleophas Adley, right? So I want you now to sell it to me. What exactly do you want us to do?
Well, I can let you know what we started off with yesterday. We turned out in great numbers at the Church of the Most Holy Trinity. That is the parish where Mr. Adley worshipped. And of course, he was also the director of the senior choir. We turned out in great numbers. We made our contribution and our presence felt in that service. That was the kickoff of the week. We will be doing lots of radio rounds promoting the work and the history of the choir throughout the week. We had a social, of course, for alumni members yesterday. But coming down to the end of the week, we will be doing a few things. We will be visiting the grave site of Mr. Adley, where we will put a monument in his honor on behalf of this, you know, in recognition of the 40th anniversary. On Friday, it's more of an internal night, which is a happy hour style, just for us to reminisce and, you know, share stories. And
can I come?
Sure.
Okay, good.
You can come. And the big night is Saturday night. Saturday night at Bahamar, 7 p.m., cocktails and dinner at 8. The event is under the patronage of the Prime Minister and Mrs. Davis. And we are celebrating an evening with all of the BNYC, which is the acronym, Bahamas National Youth Choir Divas. Mr. Fernando referenced some of them, but the point of the evening is to celebrate 40 years while experiencing some of the best in the entertainment realm in the Bahamas, and everyone who's performing would have come through the Bahamas National Youth Choir. So our deck now is stacked at about 11 singers, all females, all very well known in their in the industry and their genre. You know, Mr. Fernando would have said, but we have Wendy Lewis, we have Patrice Morel, we have Candice Boswick on the classical side, we have Latasha Taylor on the gospel side, very popular artist now, Sonovia Pierre, Naomi Taylor Crawford in jazz. We just will have an excellent, excellent time. And that's the way we thought fit to celebrate Mr. Adley, by showing some of the product, his work product. And not to call people a product, but you understand the his living legacy of the female, the best of female entertainment in the Bahamas. So we'll have dinner and we'll have dancing, the best show you'll see in the Bahamas in I don't know when.
So and now you announced that this Saturday. It's going to be a big show, a grand show, an excellent show, the thing to go to attend.
That's it.
You know you ain't calling no price, right?
No, I didn't call any price, but this seeing this type of show is priceless.
I know, but I need to know what I can afford and where to go and buy these things.
But the price is $275.
Small money.
It's a gala. It is black tie.
It's a gala event, black tie. You got to dress up.
Right. So, you know, you have your full meal, four-course meal, and the best show that you'll ever see in the Bahamas for a long time.
Where can you get tickets from?
So you can get tickets by calling you can email the Bahamas National Youth Choir, bnycalumni.org. You can call the box office, 323-2839, or cell 431-6092. We'll come and deliver the tickets to you.
Deliver the tickets too?
Absolutely. We want
I love these high society events, you know, where you could go and see who's who. Everybody's dressed up in black tie and fancy dress, and you sit down and say, yeah, I have arrived. So I want to attend, right? I want to experience the choir. I want to experience the show, right? And just for $250, hey, and at Bahama too, where they do the good food, I see no reason why I should not attend. I'm excited.
And it is a fundraiser. It's not that we set the ticket price just for, you know, doing so. All of the proceeds after cost will go to the ongoing work of the choir. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot to give the young people in the youth choir the experience that they enjoy. It's not an easy task. And so, you know, we have to do our part as alumni, because we would have gotten the benefit of all those years of teaching and training. And we want to just pay it forward, making sure that this new generation gets what they need. And so really, this is a fundraiser for a worthy cause.
Heather mentioned it's a fundraiser. For now, do you all still travel?
We sure do. We just came back.
Still travel?
That's right. We were in New York. We did workshops with Alvin Ailey Dance School. We did some stuff around the New York area with the help of our wonderful alumni, Robert Pinder. We were able to perform in the Empire State Building.
What?
And so with their connections, they opened more doors for us. You know, they were able to do some theater work, and we were also performing around the New York area.
Okay, let's go. I thought you were working foreign affairs or something like that. The idea to see you still involved in the choir, right? To volunteer your time to assist and to help promote, knowing your history involved in the choir and knowing the importance of the choir. Why do you still do that? Why do you think it's necessary that you give back? You try to assist, say, hey, Fernando, I have a connection. Come take advantage of this, right? Why do you still do what you do?
Because it's priceless. It's priceless. I tell people all the time, my talent made room for me. Cleophas Ariadne, a phenomenal mentor, an icon, a father figure to many of us, made and paved the way for us. Do you know what it is to show up to the airport with just a passport and an itinerary? And when we boarded the plane and got to our destinations, it was 5-star treatment, royal treatment. This little black boy, this little black girl from the island, a little dot on the map. And we were able to perform on world-class stages with the works of Cleophas Ariadne. He asked no questions. He just made it happen. And so therefore, because of what he imparted in my life and poured into my life, my work will never end. In helping my new director and my alumni colleague, Dexter Fernando.
How did you get involved in the choir? And the reason why I'm going to go back to Fernando, right? The reason why I asked for that, right, is I grew up off East Street, right? I heard that there exists a national youth choir. And at one point in time, I could hum. I know, but sing, but I could hum, right? And I always want to know, how do I get from Taylor Street to the National Youth Choir to even be considered to audition to say, man, I just won't get a chance to see if I qualified to be able to travel too. I want travel too, right? How did you get there? And I go to Fernando to tell me, how do I mean, not me anymore, because I'm kind of old, right? But how do I say, child, let's see if we could learn to hum too. And I can call Fernando to see if he can give you an audition. How did you get there? And then tell me, how does one get access?
So in my younger years, I was 18. I was a young police officer at the time. And I happened to sing at the Salem Baptist Church, Taylor Street Independent Service. I had a solo. And after the solo, Mr. Adley sought Charles Seeley, who was also a police officer at the time, and he was already there to go and find me and bring me. And then after we dug deep, my grandmother and Cleophas Adley's mother were the best of friends. They were godparents to each other's children. And his mother, the late Helen Bailey, was actually my grandmother's music teacher.
Okay, so go back to Fernando. Fernando, I wouldn't join the choir. Not me, but you know, I wouldn't join the choir.
Okay.
How does someone on Kwaku Street, who has a talent to sing, can harmonize, get access to the national, just to audition?
Okay. That's very easy. They can send an email to bnycsecretary@gmail.com. And we just have a basic audition. It's nothing to scare the person. Just to see your raw talent, you do a solo piece for us, and then we do an air test just to see how high you can go, some vocal exercises, see how high you can go and see how low you can go. And then we can assess also if there's any vocal damage. Now, I like to talk about this. A singer's health, there's a lot of individuals who quote-unquote call themselves vocal coach and conductors, and doing that age bracket, if they're introduced to the wrong technique, they can damage their vocal cords. And they're singing. You hear a lot of people say it all the time. I used to be able to sing. So that age bracket calls for you to know, hey, is this person going through puberty change? What type of stress they could put on their vocal cords? What section they should be in? Is the male voice changed as yet? And so you have that sensibility inside the audition period to know where to give some assessment of where they are. So they come in, make an audition. Back in the days, we used to have a large date and everyone sit down and tell you number call. No. COVID brought some sense to us. So you call in, you make an audition time, and you come in, and you're there for your audition time. We look, we have some conversation with you, see what will happen if we put you inside Carnegie Hall, or if we put you in a Washington, Kennedy Stadium. Will you freeze up? We need to see exactly what you can bring, what your talent is. So just bring the talent, and then we go from there.
Is this your job as a director? Is this like a full-time job? It's like, this is what I do?
This is all volunteer. You know,
have a real job and then you volunteer?
I have a real, real, real job.
The reason why I ask that is traveling, wardrobe, equipment, you travel a whole band.
That's right.
That's expensive.
It is.
Who's paying for this? Because I just found it's a real national youth choir. It's official.
Well,
who does pay for these things?
Well, there is a government subvention that the choir gets every
year. You know, I can pause you, right? So the government gives you some money?
Right.
A lot of money or?
A subvention.
That's a lot of money or?
But the choir has to raise a lot of money from patrons and persons in the private sector to do exactly what we need to do. So there are many donors, and we have to, of course, give a special thank you to those donors. Even so far in this endeavor, we've had many corporate sponsors come on, you know, to help us. And so we want to thank all of the persons who have been supportive of this event. But the choir, on an ongoing basis, is raising funds to carry out its work. So persons, please don't, you know, hesitate. You can contact the Alumni Association or visit the choir, Mr. Fernando, via Facebook, send a message. Because if there's even any little thing you want to send to help the ongoing work of the choir, of course, we're willing to accept any and all donations.
Okay. And you mentioned that the choir works to solicit funds. Do they do paid gigs or to souse out, or they write letters and say, man, I need money? What do you mean by that?
Well, the main way that the choir raises money now is, of course, through their concerts. During COVID, that slowed down quite a bit. And so we had to, I say we because I was actually a choir mom now. My daughter's in the choir. So during that time.
You only were 33.
Well, this is it. So I continue to say we, although I'm not in the choir, but doing more creative things, more music videos, more, online training and different things. And what we would have done is just write to sponsors and say, listen, the choir's work is still going on. We know this is a tough time, but please continue your donations to us, and we will, come in and do an event for you, or if you need something done, please count on us as we have been counting on you. And it's been working pretty well. But now, in this 40th year, we just wanted to up the ante a bit, raise the profile of the choir and continue to encourage those donors to continue the work that they've been doing.
Bobby, come Saturday, you singing? Or are you retired from singing?
No, I will never retire from singing. We'll all be singing.
But you singing Saturday?
We're all singing.
Saturday.
We are doing our part. Heather and I will be on the red carpet to welcome patrons that are going to be attending.
Okay.
And there are going to be some surprises throughout the night. We can't share all, but there'll be some surprises tonight. So if you haven't gotten your ticket yet, you should plan to be there. Like I tell somebody, there's so many, we can find money to support so many different things in this country. But when it comes to our own, we always try to shy away from it. And the work of the Bahamas National Choir is a very intense work. Like Heather alluded to, and Mr. Fernandez, the costumes. He has to pay for the band. He has to pay for rehearsal spaces. You see the children on stage now, or you see the choir, that's us. But you don't know the work behind the scene, and it costs a lot of money. And so we're saying to patrons out there, continue to support the work of Mr. Fernanda, and more so Mr. Fernanda, him being an alumni who's taken on the baton of our departed founder, Cleovis Ali. That's a phenomenal task. And so we thought it fitting as an alumni association to stand behind him and stand on the side of him and walk with him as we continue to keep his legacy alive.
Hello, you mentioned alumni associate. I need you to explain what is that, right? I know it's 40 years worth of adults now.
Yes.
Who are involved in the association. But how do you keep them together? And when I say keep them together, what do you do to keep them together?
So what we've done, we've now made ourselves an official legal nonprofit organization. We have formalized ourselves really for the 40th anniversary. But every time, over the years when things happen, we always brought ourselves together a little more casually. But now there's an intense effort to formalize this group of alumni, which is almost at 600. And so the idea is to make sure this group pays it forward to the next generation. If you listen to the countless stories, Nuri, you'll hear how the choir would have brought people. No later than yesterday, I'll give you an example. A young man was talking about how he was on the wrong path and it was sharp on his mouth. He got kicked out twice, but still was given another opportunity to come in, change that path, and turn into an educator today, a very well-respected singer today in his adult life. But the time he would have spent in the choir during that sometimes wayward teenage years not only gave him the character building or the training in song, but actually gave him a safe space to dwell with family and mature into a prosperous and sensible adult contributing to the society. So I said all of that to say that's the aim of what comes out of the National Youth Choir. And so all of us who are thankful alumni and who have these types of stories, we all know that we're better persons because of our experience in the choir. And we are now formalizing ourselves to make sure that that legacy stays at the high standard, and we give not just support in words, because Maud could say anything, right? But we're giving support tangibly with finances and time to make sure that the young people now get the same quality experience we did.
Fernanda, how many members are in the choir now? And what is their age range at this present time? And when do you do auditions? I mean, in terms of, I know a year go by, and do is it at the end of the year you say, let me start over and see if you have four vacant spots, and then you put that clarion call, be your four spots, you, if someone can come now, can fit in them.
Yeah, so the age bracket, youth. So we don't take at 13, we start at the teen, 14. 14 up to 25. So we have that large range. We did that range because the turnover is a lot. Individuals are now, the dynamics of what the choir started off then, they weren't competing with a lot of stuff back then. Now you have a lot of individuals who decide to go to boarding school in grade 10, and you have a lot of people who are studying for the BGCSE, and so there is a need, you know, for that range for them to be able to present. And of course, some of the contracts require a number of adults, that being a person above 18. And so we are a youth group, so we're starting at 14 and we end a young adult, age 25.
Okay. And that's a commercial break. We're going to play, go quickly to a commercial break first. And then when we come back, I want to ask about a typical choir rehearsal.
Okay.
Like where that be, how long that be, how much time that take out. And then I want to go rehash about what's happening on Saturday again, right? I want to experience that, so people realize that the big event happening Saturday, who's who, is a gala ball, right? With food. And I thought it was going to be 3-course meal and Heather saying it's 4.
Hey, man, you're going to eat, man. You're going to fill your belly, man.
Yes, yes. And it could be a big time show.
Absolutely.
And all the who's who in music world, in the Bahamas music world, is going to be there performing.
That's right.
So it's going to be good. So anyway, Guardian Radio at AM. Erin Green has just rejoined me now so she can ask one or two questions. We're going to take this quick break.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you say.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful. But that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Celebrate.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. And we are celebrating. We are celebrating the National Youth Choir. And they're celebrating 40 years of existence. This Saturday, having a big time concert. Not just a concert. They're having a gala event, right? Where you have a four-course meal. Where is it going to be, again, Heather?
Bahama.
It's going to be Bahama. Like studded. What do you call that? Studded when you have...
Star-studded.
That's the right wording, right?
I just need to know, am I required to bring my retractable heels so I can walk the red carpet and then dance the green carpet?
Just dress up.
That's right.
Yes.
Good.
I think that's the best thing. I mean, some of us may just take the shoes off at a certain time.
I'll be him in me.
Can you imagine? So what do I expect come Saturday? Like, what all to expect? I already heard a Bobby say he's going to be welcoming people on the red carpet with Heather. What do I expect come Saturday?
Grandeur. We have our men, Charles Healy and Dwayne Wallace will be the host for the evening.
Nice.
We're going to have the Higher Level Band, which is a phenomenal band, J.D. Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our divas, actually, is the lead singer, Anne Yeboah.
You all spend some money getting these people.
The thing about it is, you know, when people see the work, they help you. And when they see what you want to do and about to do, they help you. So we say, again, hats off to patrons. And we're going to have some interspersements of the alumni choir performing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to tell you what we're going to be performing, but it's going to be a star-studded show. And like Heather said, $275 is nothing. The other day, folks went on to see Beyonce and sat in a little chair with nothing to eat for $550 per seat.
My Lord. Bahamians did that.
Bahamians did that. I saw them flying to different destinations where Beyonce was. That's right. Somewhere as far as New Orleans, some came to New Jersey, some went to Atlanta. And this is just hotel, car, outfit to look like the crew and the people there at the Beyonce concert. But you're getting a four-course meal with great music and entertainment.
And you hear that voice? I sure they can have some improv serenading. They could just be walking through and they see you and they can sing you a whole ballad right there on the spot.
Fernanda, my favorite song for the National Youth Choir is Ease of Celebrating. They had this African one. Oh, God. I normally sing it now. My niece Janae sings it all the time.
San Croma or Iyo Tumango?
Iyo Tumango. Iyo Tumango. Na, 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 na. Iyo Tumango.
That's Iyo Tumango, right?
Iyo.
Iyo.
I know the words. Yeah. So I said I'm Igbo. So I embraced that.
So let's talk about that. That came to the Bahamas. That actually developed in Abaco. It's what we call an unknown language, Bahamian language, that came from the Gullah Geechee tribe that settled from North America into the Bahamas.
It's a narrative.
And so, so when we sing these songs abroad, when we go to France, they don't want no other country. They want you to validate the music and it is authentically Bahamian music. So we have to do research. We've got to have to know the correct information. We've been sent back to the Gullah tribe in North Carolina and South Carolina to find out what the words mean, the interpretation of it, so that we could make sure that we're pronouncing the words right. And so there's a lot of history that goes into what you see as the final product. So when we're going someplace, we have to do a lot of research, copyright the music, Performing Rights Society, before we hit the stage. And that's a cost.
I watch a lot of the medleys online doing research. And sometimes, I be honest with y'all, sometimes I'd be like, why they didn't sing this song? Oh, I'm looking for them performances of particular songs. But I'm glad to know now that some of the songs that I'm looking for, they're not actually Bahamian.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Covers. And I love how Bahamians covered it.
Bahamianized.
But I should not expect to hear it in the National Choir's catalog, because it's not authentic indigenous Bahamian production.
Yes.
Construction.
Construction.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we go, we travel to France for the program. It was UNESCO's program. We wanted to do Yabon there. And then when we searched the music, Yabon there is really from Belize.
Stop that.
You know, someone has covered it and put Bahamas in it. But that song, Yabon there, is not Bahamian. That's not Bahamian.
Who knew that?
Unless you do your research.
Should be a question.
You know, you just jump in and you say that's a Bahamian song, but you have to do research, because remember, our mandate is to preserve Bahamian folk. We could say, listen, I've had one singer tell me that they wrote Tell All I Ain't Here. That's an Irish song.
Mm-hmm. Stop that. Definitely not Bahamian.
It's definitely not Bahamian.
Although
we give it rhythms and everything.
Veronica did it Bahamian style.
So, yes. So we love the Bahamian music and presenting them. What we're trying to do, and my legacy, what I want to do is find out how we can patent Bahamian music so that we can have it on the radio like Afro beats. How can we make the sound so unique that we could be in that commercial area of production of Bahamian music, that they could take a rhythm and say, this is a Bahamian beat, just like how they do an Afro beat. Mm-hmm. So the challenge is, what is necessary to get us to that next stage? So Mr. Adley did the foundation. He placed the house on Bell Cause, and it calls for the whole village, not just Dexter. It calls for the whole village to say, hey, this is where we want our music to go. This is where we're going. The Prime Minister last year talked about opening up the relationships with the school in London about training and et cetera and everything. How can we take advantage of that as the national choir? Mm-hmm. And so that's our thing. We're not just this choir that sings all over the place. It's an institution that's helping to preserve mm-hmm. culture for another generation.
All right. On that point, every performance I hear that I've heard or seen video of sounds very Anglo size, very British. I'm the British of the British. I hold a flag. Are there any performances that are guttural, right? That are Cat Island, old school guttural performances? And is that a part of the sound that you are thinking about when you talk about identifying a distinct Bahamian sound?
And so, yes, in each song, we try to give it the flavor or flair of what it should be in the authenticity. So if I am doing Cat Island medley, like I talked about earlier, the rushing, the movement, the counterclock work of it, making sure we're not mixing it up with Jamaican Kumina, all of that goes into the performance that we present. And so sometimes it needs to be clarity. You know, you have, when you go, it needs to be in clarity that everyone that's out there can understand mm-hmm. it, and the harmonies come along. You know, that pentatonic scale that Africans sing on, we don't do that with our rushing music. I hope I ain't lost anyone out there. It's just that something is innate with Bahamian music that makes our sound different.
So absolutely. There's such a thing as Bahamian music, a Bahamian flair,
yes.
A Bahamian sound.
You know, we have
sound.
A Bahamian African music, you know. All my trials... It was originally all my sorrows. It's the identified first African folk song, spiritual from the Bahamas. An American took it and changed it to all my trials.
Look at that. Mm-hmm. They're taking our things.
Just like Snoop John B.
Yeah. Yes. They take our thing. Let's go to this caller.
Run,
right,
go see.
Run, go, yes.
Run, go see, that's right.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Quality day is talking along with you and your panel. Yuri, what I want to ask, gentlemen, right? You talked about Cleophas Adley, right? Do y'all used to practice over at the Cathedral Church area in the Cathedral Church premises?
Okay, so you would have been talking about. Thank you for the question. You would have been talking about the choir in its inception, as Mr. Adley was a member of the Men and Boys Choir of the Cathedral. Remember, Mr. Adley's experiences was a connection of what he had in his village. He had Miss Seymour from Miss Meeting Street that was teaching him organ. He had Clement Bethel as his accompanist for the choir when we first started. Then he had all of these people at the cathedral that came from different countries around the world that was feeding into him. So what you are talking about is the Men and Boys Choir that Mr. Adley was a part of when Mr. Fleischer was mentoring Mr. Adley at the time. And it allowed us, if you look at the history of the choir, it allowed Mr. Adley to use a lot of those individuals in the making of the choir. So here's a little thing. Father Fleischer was the head of the National Art Festival for the Bahamas. So when he went around adjudicating, he selected people saying, listen, that person has a wonderful song. They need to join the National Youth Choir. So he picked people for the Children's Choir, Youth Choir, and the National Choir. And so there was this understanding, the community understanding, that we wanted the National Choir to represent excellence, where it was a natural standard. And so that is what you're talking about, inception of going up George Street, and they had rehearsal. Some of our rehearsals were also held right there by the Kirk, right down the road, because we had this village that was opening up to us. Not many places where we could have rehearsed. And we were thankful that, you know, they would allow us to use their halls, mm-hmm. so we could practice not just religious music, because we shake up and dance. Folk would be part of a Bohemian focus, that jump and dance, the heel and toe, all those different rhythms. We have to show that, present that inside a presentation. And sometimes you can't do it in the church hall.
Where do you practice now?
We are so thankful for the Anglican Diocese, that we are using some of their facilities when we rehearse. You would have known that a few years ago, the national the dance school was actually closed. And so that's an added cost we had to bear. We have to now rent storage facility. You can imagine from 1983, costumes, music, photos, awards that had to be removed and placed into a place for storage. And then we had to go into contract agreements for rental of space.
Here's how we're going to pay for it, sir. Children's choir, youth choir, national choir. Look how the Ministry of Tourism already have a portfolio, a platform for y'all. There should be continual performances in the downtown area. I want to see flash mobs. You know, I want to just out of nowhere, something just happening in front of me, right? Yes. I think Bahamian and tourists alike will be captured by the experience.
And we want to do that type of partnership. Even if it's once a month or twice a month, we are performing in Rawson Square.
See, Pindagang, excited. Just listening.
Talk about even National Art Gallery, performing on the Art Gallery on a Saturday. Listen, we go and when we travel, some of the ports that we stand, they schedule 4 to 5 concerts. The choir goes back to back, rotating, performing in their tourist areas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We have the facilities for the vision. No one wants to. Everyone talks about they want to do a Bohemian show in a downtown area that, you know, could be a quick turnover.
Is the choir prepared to do that now?
Yes.
So you're saying right now, if someone calls and says, hey, I need to have an ongoing show and downtown.
Do every Saturday, we can do it. We have a show. We have a touring show. Mm-hmm. And if you want exclusivity, we can talk about exclusivity costs for if you only want that show pattern just for your show only.
Go ahead, Ben.
Let me, just to talk about show. Mr. Adley had some proud moments during his tenure as a director. A lot of people don't realize that the cast from Once on This Island came with the Bahamas National Choir, directed by one of our past alumni who's now gone on, Brian Thompson. He did Once on This Island. We cleaned up during the Dan's Award time at doing the Dundas Award sessions. Mr. Adley also created Our Boys, a Bohemian opera. You know, and like I said, I don't think we do enough in this country when it comes to the arts and culture. It can just be you want to use our artists when you have a convention or a conference. We have so much talented Bahamians here, like you talk about downtown, that there should be ongoing shows that we can actually flip and also sell to the world.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about opportunities. Heather, what opportunities has being a part of the choir afforded you?
Oh, aside from traveling all around the world.
Where are you going?
Well, I've been to Russia. I've been to China, I've been to Paris, been to Scotland, we stopped in Finland, Canada, I've been to the U.S. multiple times. But I tell this story all the time. People who know me now and know that I'm not afraid to speak and not afraid to be out in public, that all came through the Bahamas National Youth Choir, because although I felt that I had a little voice, and I guess Mr. Adley accepted that and let me in, I would never smile. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. I would never smile. And every time it was time to perform, I would crouch to the back, not want to be seen. And I had to get trained and a good telling off once or twice to come through and let that personality and the smile and that everything that people see now come through. So aside from all of the opportunities, which were many, I think I credit my persona or my ability to be confident in public, to my time in the National Youth Choir.
Is there any performance that stands out? Like, did you get to perform for dignitaries or stars, people who may not be well-known but close to your heart? Any moment that really stood out for you?
Well, there was Nelson Mandela when he came into the Bahamas. Who else, Bobby? Rosa Parks, too.
Rosa Parks.
Hold on. Say what?
Yeah,
I bet when you sang for her, she got up. I bet when you sang for her, she stood up, though. You hear that voice, sir?
Queen Elizabeth.
Nice.
That's my cousin. You could sing for her. I'm out of that.
We did that. We also did performances. Who was it? There was a performance we did at Oprah Winfrey's church in Chicago.
Nice.
I remember that as well. Yeah, that was a phenomenal time as well.
And you know, something we always say, it does not matter who's in the audience. Sing to the best, or that if it's only five people, you have to give your all. I as artisans, and he gave us that lesson. He said, as artisans, sometimes it's not the audience, but getting the work done that is in you, the preparation for the work. I know if you're writing a skit and writing a play or anything, getting the work done and presenting it is enough satisfaction for an individual. Mm-hmm. My favorite was the lady in charge of the Washington Museum.
Nice.
We did Lord, How Come Me Here? And when we turned around, everyone was crying.
You all performed at the African American Museum?
Yes.
What?
And this is because of relationships. And people don't understand. I always say, when you're bashing National Choir, when you bash it, you're closing a door that is open that individuals are willing to give scholarships for, when individuals are willing to listen, because of where we've been, there is no reason for someone to question our ability to sing in their place. The credentials show, you know, we're part of the Royal School, et cetera, or whatever it is. So these things open for us. And the minute someone does the black crab syndrome, it can close it up.
Part of the Royal School? Could you?
Yes. So we got our accreditation. I did that in 2017, 18, doing the transition. We did the accreditations necessary to become, so that when we travel in the European market, as we need to get into certain places, they see our credentials that, hey, some of our voice types are at this level that will allow you to get into the choir. And then you need to also get certified for your organist to touch their instruments.
Yeah.
So you can't just jump up and say, hey, I go into the Basilica. You got to do something.
Okay, I have 2 minutes. I want Heather, not before I get to Heather. Heather can be the last one to tell me what all is going to be happening again. Briefly,
mm-hmm.
Orange Economy, importance of that in the line to the National Youth Choir. And of course, you, right after that, Heather, go and tell me what all is happening for Saturday.
Okay, so Orange Economy, it's most important. These youths, first understanding how they can make revenue out of the talents that they have. Someone feeding into you, getting that atmosphere, understanding what is necessary to move into your Orange Economy, getting a business license, getting a trade name, patenting your music, copyrighting your music. Someone got to teach you that. You don't want to get a sign a contract and realize you're only getting 10% on your performances. So someone has to be able to feed into you that information. And that happens with an institution like the Bahamas National Youth Choir.
Absolutely.
So we're just calling all Bahamians, everyone who loves music, anyone who was or is a fan of the National Youth Choir, come and help us celebrate on Saturday, our 40th anniversary. Tickets are $275. You can call us 323-2839 or send us an email, bnycalumni.org. Just come out and listen to the best of the best that the BNYC has produced.
I didn't tell you this, but they know how to sing Mango Off the Tree.
Anyway, Guardian Radio AM, we had the National Youth Choir with us. Have a beautiful day. I want it.